We have a saying around here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no brains, no headache.
Well, hello, boys.
What's up? What's up?
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Welcome to episode 83 of No Brains, No Headache podcast. If you're driving right now, be sure to buckle up. If you're lounging, go ahead and have a drink with us. And if you're at work right now, try your best to keep your composure because things get out of hand. We may hoot and holler as we try our best to have a good time. It starts with an interview with a guest we've been following for a long time. His name is Joe Prano, who is a comedian and co-host of Dirty Sports Podcast. So he works with Andy Ruther, who has been on the show before. Joe is based in LA, but joined us from New York. So thank you to him for taking the time to talk with us. We had to ask about his comedy career, of course. Then we talked about some sports as he is a Mets fan, and we broke down how one decides which teams to root for in New York City. It's a very complex process. Finish up with a great story about him drinking very responsibly during Kobe's final game, so we appreciate the time for the conversation. And any dirtballs that may be listening, we welcome you with open arms. Make yourself right at home. After the interview, it's time for Cleary's Comments, the segment where we banter about arbitrary topics. We watch the Vikings-Bears game live, so you get live reaction as we discuss Matt's Christmas thoughts, brainstorm million-dollar ideas, pun intended, and a pro tip that you do not want to miss. This episode is brought to you by Heart River Spirits, coming to Bismarck early 2022. And hey, if you want some more content, follow us on social media at NBNH Podcast. Wherever you're listening, make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And I don't want to miss a thing. And whenever you're ready, leave us a review. This is an NBNH Media production. Let's get it on.
He had the craziest look in his eyes, and at one point he said, "Let's get it on."
Okay. Let's party.
All right, let's jump right into it. We are joined by stand-up comedian and co-host of the Dirty Sports Podcast, Joe Prano. Joe, thanks for you and your mustache joining No Brains, No Headache Podcast.
Thank you guys for having both of us.
All right.
Sometimes people just want the mustache, and I'm like, it's kind of a package deal.
Oh, that thing's got to weigh like a solid 6 ounces.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Well, I want to start here. So we've had Andy, the host of Dirty Sports, on. We got the other half now, and I wanted to kind of pick your brain on what famous duo you two kind of remind yourself of.
That's a great question. I mean, it's kind of cliche, but I really feel Batman and Robin is the obvious one. I mean, I do all the heavy lifting. He's just the boy wonder with a little weird side part that like no one wants there. They're like, we just want this to be a Batman movie, you know? And then it's Batman and Robin. People are like, oh, Robin's such a turd.
Well, yeah, I don't know if Andy would agree, but I think he'll take it.
Ruther knows I love to take a good shot at him whenever I can. And honestly, it's great to be on the podcast that exposed Andy, caught Andy. I mean, this your guys' podcast was a huge talking point on our show for, you know, him blowing the L-chain bet.
Yeah, well, it's the second time I was brought up on Dirty Sports. The first time I was the one that told you about Pat McAfee playing Lamar Odom in Horse, and you called me Mark.
I called you Mark?
Yeah, you're like, oh, thanks, Mark. And I'm like, oh, great.
I honestly do that so much that I'm starting to realize I might be an asshole. Like somebody the other day just sent me a Miller Lite hat in the mail. And I was like, thanks, Austin or whatever. And he's like, it's Keenan. I was like, I wasn't even close.
Yeah, at least Matt, Mark, you're going biblical with it. You can screw it up a little bit.
I mean,
bit.
Listen, if I get the first two letters of your name right,
oh yeah,
just you know did. That's pretty good. I've done a lot of drugs in my day.
Respect.
Whatever happened with the whole Reuther situation? Like, could you explain it to our listeners of like what the bet was and how it transpired?
So the gist of it was he had to wear the L chain, which is our like the Dirty Sports version of the Miami turnover chain, for two consecutive weeks after he lost our pick'em bet for last NFL season. We have an ongoing, you know, annual pick'em bet. And I think he's lost the last few years. And he really, I mean, he really milks the clock in like 1960s college basketball style with these, with paying off these bets. It'll take him years at times. But finally, we forced him to wear the L chain for 2 weeks from, I think it was like the 2019 season or something like that. And the rule was he couldn't take it off except to sleep, shower, and exercise. That was it. And he appeared on your guys' podcast during that 2 weeks, clearly not showering or sleeping or exercising while he was on with you degenerate Bush drinkers.
And it's Bush Light, thank you.
Bush Light, sorry, my apologies. And he wasn't wearing it, and it kind of, you know, it became a scandal. And now he has to, I believe, I forget where we settled, but I think he has to wear it on a date, or he has to wear it to the amusement park. I forget what happened, but surprise, surprise, he hasn't paid his punishment part of the bet yet.
Should make him go to like a Christmas church service with his family wearing it.
Yeah, that would be great. Although, just, I mean, if you're a you're already like buying in, right? Like he's like, what, you know, what's most families wearing to church? Some dumb sweater or whatever. It's like, you're not even going to be out of place. It's like, oh, it's for the Lord. It's L for Lord.
You dressed up your 18-month-old kid. That's probably going to shit his pants. So.
Yeah, exactly. I love it when they put kids in like white tights in church. It's like,
oh yeah,
yellow that's tights by the time we get out of here.
Well, it's just cry the whole time. And then they like take them out. It's like, why even bring your kid to fucking church?
Absolutely.
Strike one, Catholic Church. So you are in New York right now, correct?
I'm in New York. That's right.
So I have a question about how New Yorkers become fans of teams, because I don't understand, because it's like Jets, Mets, Knicks. How does that happen?
So there's sort of a general rule that goes with Jets, Mets go together because they used to play at Shea in Queens. And also Yankees fans tend to be Yankee fans forever, you know? And then we had the National League teams in the Giants and the Dodgers who leave. And the Yankees have always sort of been the evil empire even before all this stuff. So National League New York baseball fans tended to be like without a team. And then it wasn't that long after that the Mets came to replace both the Giants and the Dodgers. That's where their colors come from. And so if you were a National League baseball fan back then, you were a Mets fan. And the Mets and the Jets sharing a stadium, which is in Queens, out toward Long Island. They sort of claimed the Long Island, Queens, a little bit of Brooklyn, because that's where the Dodgers played area. Northern parts of the city, Manhattan, out to Jersey, tends to be like Yankee area. Yankees fans often go with the Giants. Now, I am a bastard fan. I'm a gypsy fan, as they're called. I am a Giants and Mets fan. But that's because I started as a Mets-Jets fan. Many people don't know this, but abandoned the Jets quickly after making dear friends with members of the Giants ownership staff. I was like, well, you guys own the team. That seems like it'll work out in the long run. I'll just be a Giants fan.
Yeah, congrats for your two Super Bowls. You picked the right side.
Yeah, and I'm older than you guys, so I actually have four in my lifetime.
Were you alive for the 86 Mets?
I was born in 1979, and that is sort of how I became a Mets fan. My mom's from Queens, but actually her whole family is Yankees fans, but she definitely had some love for her kind of home neighborhood team, and the Mets were good when I was a kid. You know, the Yankees stunk in the early and mid-80s, and the Mets won a World Series in 86. First game I went to was a Mets game, and they were winning then. And so that's how
also
I ended up
doing a lot of illicit drugs.
Yes, which I knew early on in my life. I mean, look at this mustache. I knew Keith Hernandez with a mustache sprinkled with cocaine was my kind of team.
I love it. I love everything about the 86 Mets. Probably the best mascot in baseball, I would say.
Mr. Met?
Yeah. It's like, yeah. How much do I have to pay that guy to come to my birthday party? Yeah. Also, it's I need to schedule a birthday party.
Just like didn't overthink it. They're like, it's a baseball head. It's Mr. Met. Like, you know.
If they made Mr. Met drive a golf cart shaped like a baseball or a baseball helmet like they used to do out, I would watch every single Met game, and I'm not even a Mets fan.
I know. That would be awesome, right? Like him driving a car made out of the same thing that his head is made out of.
While on cocaine.
Right. I mean, it's safe to say that Mr. Met's clearly on cocaine the whole time. I mean, a couple years ago, he busted for flipping off fans.
Well, I think, what was it? The Philly Fanatic got in a fist fight with a manager. Yeah. That's what baseball needs.
Yeah. Look at the schnoz on the Philly Fanatic, too. That guy's clearly on coke.
Good word, schnoz. I love that one.
Yeah.
Well, let's hop into a different sport here.
Well, hold on. I got a question about the Mets like this last season. Mm-hmm. So at the trade deadline, Matt and I are Cubs fans. At the trade deadline, the Mets, it seemed like they were trying to make a run there just with their acquisitions to get Javier Baez, a few other guys. Like, I don't know if this is an obvious question of how heartbreaking was it to watch the Braves go on to do what they did of like, they weren't looking too hot either around the trade deadline, and they made a few moves. All of a sudden, they go on and they win the World Series. Like, was the whole playoffs where you're just like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah, it was pretty devastating. And the teams that it came down to in the end, I mean, like, I hate just about all the teams that were in the mix at the end. I've come to hate the Dodgers living in LA. I thought I'd be a low-key Dodger fan. I got to know Dodgers fans, and I don't like them. And
the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Braves, obviously a division rival. That was tough. You had the cheating Astros. In the end, like, it came down to, like, who was the other team in the ALCS? Was it the Red Sox? My brain is mush. Yes. Or was it, yeah, the Red Sox. I was, like, literally rooting for Boston to win. I was like, am I rooting for the Red Sox? It was like, as long as it's not Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, Braves. So it was tough, but, like, you know, the Braves, I mean, they played well, and they had, obviously they played well enough to win the World Series, but they lost a lot of guys, and they've had a bunch of players over the years that I have despised, but Freddie Freeman is a guy who you like, it's hard not to like him. So
respect the hell out of him.
Yeah. So they had a few guys on that ball club that like I've been fans of over the years, and it was tough, but I'm already over it. You know, we're on to next year. I've also gotten over, you know, my hatred of Max Scherzer. He's a Met now. Let's go. the dynasty starts today.
Got over that hatred really quick.
Yeah, got to scrub the tweets that you just search Max Scherzer and just like, I still fucking hate this guy.
I still like, it's still going to be hard for me to root for him, but I'll be happy when he plays well, if that makes sense.
One thing I'll give the Mets credit for is they like never get up, and last year's a clear example of that, of still at the trade deadline trying to make a run for it, and it didn't work out. But I feel like they're always making moves at the trade deadline, and their ownership is just, you know, just a little bit out there, and I like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the new ownership and a guy who doesn't want to hear, no one wants to play for the Mets. It's like, he's like, it's a new regime. He's got all the money in the world. He's going to spend it, and you love to see it.
That's what the Twitter. Cubs need, because the Cubs owner, the Ricketts, shitty baseball owner, shitty governor, and he owns TD Ameritrade, and he like TD Ameritraded the entire team at the deadline, and it was just, everyone hates him, and he won't sell the team.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of
still in your grace period, right? But like it's starting to wear off.
Oh yeah. It's at that point where it's like, we had that core. Now it's like, I went to a game this year. They played the Giants, and it was KB's return. And it was like, I don't know half the players on the team, because it was like a week after. It was like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was an overhaul.
What's crazy about the Cubs is like, they I don't know if they were leaking or if this was just like fan talk, but it was like, oh, you know, you can't keep everybody. You got to pick a guy to rebuild around. It's going to be Rizzo. Rizzo is the fan favorite. Let Baez go. He's like, he's all swing and miss or a bomb. Bryant, like, we can't do it. Like, he's good. And then they go and let Rizzo's like the first one gone.
That was surprising. I thought exactly what you were saying is, KB's going, and I was like, as much as I love Baez, he's exciting. A little bit of a liability at times, and I'm like, that's fine if he goes too, because it's his time. But I definitely thought Rizzo would stay, and I think we're all shocked.
And then it's got to be tough to see Schwarber hit. I mean, what, he hit 85 home runs after he left in like 2.5 weeks?
Well, look at Jorge Soler played for the Cubs.
Yeah.
And he won a World Series MVP. Jock Peterson wasn't.
Jock
terrible.
Peterson had a cup of coffee with the Cubs, it seemed like. It was just...
Yeah, well, Jorge Soler, Jock Peterson, ipso facto, the Cubs won the World Series this year, so...
I'll say this before we move on, since we're deep in Cubs talk. there's a lot of guys who have, I feel like, a weird... This is something that, you know, I'm a Giants fan, and I still defend Odell Beckham to this day on the podcast. People have a weird beef with certain athletes, and sometimes I think, you know, outspoken black guy or whatever. Marcus Stroman is awesome. You guys are going to love him. He is a gamer. He shows up. He wants to win. He's a competitor. He's got fire. Like, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know if it's Twitter persona or what, but like, don't let any of that scare you guys. I loved him. I would have done anything to bring him back, and obviously Scherzer a nice pseudo upgrade, but you guys are gonna love Stroman.
Yeah, and he knows how to rap too. He's got rap friends too, so you know, maybe Mike Stud will be making some appearances at Cubs games in the near future. We'll find out.
I want to get into a little bit of NBA talk specifically. I've never actually heard the story from the source of your Kobe Bryant shot challenge.
Yeah.
And I want that story and like a little background behind it.
So it started off as something, it was just a kind of a riff, because somebody, you know, I don't like to call myself a Kobe Bryant hater, especially now after his passing, but I've never really, been a Kobe Bryant hater. I call myself a Kobe Bryant truther because it's just not my style. It's not my preferred style of basketball. And I think he was in great positions to get those championships early and then be called a winner. And it's like, there's no doubt about it. He's a crazy competitor, and he's a super, you know, once in a generation talent, but it's not my style. And I would sort of always call him out for being selfish. And somebody, I think, called our show one time and criticized my dislike of Kobe Bryant. And in a way, Michael Jordan and Carmelo, I was just like, you know, volume shooters, it's sort of antiquated at this point, and I'm not a fan of it. And so I was defending my Kobe Bryant true thing. And I said, if you want to like really feel and understand truly how much this guy shoots with just blatant disregard for his teammates and like fairness and, you know, like being a charitable offensive player, take a shot of alcohol every time Kobe Bryant takes a shot of alcohol or takes a field goal shot. And multiple guys started doing it and then leaving phone calls of them like puking in their mom's bathtub and like it got really bad really fast. And I sort of felt bad about it because then it became a thing where people on our show who weren't even like Kobe defenders were like, I'm just gonna do this to see if I can. And it just kept going terribly wrong. And I started feeling bad and I was like, you know what? It's Kobe's, he's announced this is last year. I'm gonna do it for his final game. And I figured the guy would take 35 or 40 shots. But it became clear very early that he was going to shoot it 80 times. And I knew he was going to shoot. I mean, still 35 shots of alcohol is insane. So I prepped for it for days in advance. I mean, for 2 full days, all I ate was my family's pasta carbonara recipe. It was just pasta. pasta, bacon, grease, eggs, pasta, bacon, grease, eggs, like every meal. And I knew I wasn't going to mix booze. Like I wasn't going to mix beer with it. It was just going to be the whiskey and water with a pasta base and just go for it. And I mean, yeah, it got dangerous really fast. I mean, the amount, like he probably took 12 shots in the first 20 minutes of the game, you know, like 12 shots of liquor in 20 minutes is dangerous. And then I think if I recall, Reuther cut me off at 40.
Probably a responsible thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, there was
a good friend right there.
We were getting called. We did it live. You know, we broadcasted it live. So we were getting a number of concerned phone calls from friends saying like, it's got to stop. I think I had thrown up twice at that point. It was getting pretty dark. But we survived. We did it. I've said many times, it's not the drunkest I've ever been. It's not the most hungover I've ever been. And I attribute that to the carb base. And we survived and we did it. And am I a stronger competitor than Kobe Bryant? Yeah, I think I am, to be totally honest with you.
You tried taking 40 shots of the pasta base. Okay.
First off, if someone tells me they were willingly taking 40 shots of alcohol, it's probably because they wanted to kill themselves.
Yeah. I mean, secondly, 2 hours, it was dangerous.
What type of whiskey?
So I went to the store and I was like, listen, I got to get a bourbon I like to drink because I want this to be a somewhat enjoyable experience. Now, my bourbon of choice is Maker's on a daily. I mean, I'll drink all kinds of bourbon, but my go-to kind of standard is Maker's. And I was like, well, don't get Maker's because if this goes real bad, it might be the kind of thing where you can't look at the bottle ever again. So I got Buffalo Trace, which I really like. And what I also did is I got Buffalo Trace and I got a bottle of Fireball. And my rule was I will take a shot of Buffalo Trace every time he takes a shot. If he does the thing, which Kobe Bryant does a lot, where he takes 2 or 3 jump shots in a matter of seconds where I can't even pour and drink a shot fast enough, I had a taller glass. And then I would go double or triple of the Fireball. So if he took 2 or 3 in a row, I would smash the Fireball 3 at a time. But if I could get one poured and drank before he took his next jump shot, I would do the Buffalo Trace. So I probably did 25 to 30 shots of Buffalo Trace and 10 to 15 shots of Fireball.
Did you realize that he was going to score like 66 points and shoot that many times?
I realized pretty quickly that it was we were going to be in for a long night.
Yeah, no one else score. I think they're playing like the Hornets or something. I think they played
the Jazz.
Yeah, and it was just like, okay,
don't talk shit about the Jazz, dude.
Yeah,
yeah. Jordan has a gigantic Jazz blanket just hanging on the wall behind the TV in our studio.
I'm like an NBA free agent. I can't decide what team I want.
The Bulls such a are random always... thing to why are the Jazz even in the mix?
I think I got this blanket at like as a kid sometime, and it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Now it's just on our wall.
The Jazz uniform and logo, besides when they went to that weird Purple Mountain era, but like the proper Jazz stuff is pretty cool before you realize there's absolutely, I think Jazz is banned in Utah, but otherwise,
fun is banned in Utah.
Yeah, exactly.
We just talked about Utah last episode. So yeah, Utah's been getting a lot of airtime lately, oddly enough.
You can't order your second drink until you order dinner.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, the booze rules there, it's ridiculous. I performed at a comedy club one time, and I got to the green room, and it was a beautiful comedy club, and they were so nice to us in the green room. They're like, anything you want, food, beer. And I looked at the menu, and they didn't have my go-to, you know, pre-show Miller Lite. So I was like, all right, what other beers are on here? And I saw a beer that I hadn't seen in years, Killian's Irish Red, which was a popular beer for a time, but seems to have, like, disappeared into obscurity. And I was like, oh, I'll do a Killian's. And she brought it, and two sips in, I was like, hey, I got to return this. This is like skunked or weird, or like something's wrong with it. And she was like, no, it's just near beer. Like, it's just like 2-3 or something like that. And I was like, what? She's like, it's 2%. And I was like, get this away from me immediately. And I was like, just bring me a liquor drink. And she's like, well, we only do one shot of liquor in our thing. And I was like, I literally was dumbfounded. And she was like, well, you know, since you're one of the performers, maybe I can get him to do something. I was like, yeah, just bring me a bottle of bourbon. Like, that's what I need in here right now.
Never wanted to abuse my power before, but now I want it.
Yeah, I'm usually not a diva.
Well, besides like not being served alcohol in Utah, how do you come up with the things you put into your comedy routine?
You know, for a long time, a long time ago when I first started, I would kind of sit down every day and be like, I'm going to write jokes and like think of some things that maybe came to mind in the last couple of days and have an hour where you write down all your funny thoughts. And then I guess kind of with social media, Twitter, the notes app, whatever, I now just kind of go around and if I have a moment where something strikes me, a lot of times I'll tweet it or I'll just put it in my notes. And then the next time I do a show, I'll kind of like review my notes app and be like, oh, maybe just try mentioning this. And it usually starts now with like a premise. I just bring a premise up and then go, I'm just going to say that. And then I'll riff the rest of it if it gets a good reaction. And then I kind of write it on stage. But at this point, it's just kind of like, have a funny thought and then expand on it, which is crazy because when I started, I'd be like, this is the joke. Here's the punchline. Here's the tag. Here's the whatever. It was so, but now it's like, that just seems like a lot of work.
How many shows do you think you've done in your whole career?
You know, I've tried to think about that from time to time. I've been doing comedy about 20 years now. I would say about 10 of those as like a full-time or full-time-ish stand-up comic. So, I mean, early on, it was definitely lighter. I would say, I don't know, maybe I was doing 50 a year for the first 10 years. So that's 500. And then maybe three times that for the last 10. So, I don't know, 2,000 shows?
That's give or 2,000 take? More than myself. So congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Have you ever done a show in North Dakota? I think we asked Ruther that. I don't think he's done one here, but he said he drove through North Dakota. Have you ever done one here?
He drove through South Dakota and thought it was North Dakota. Okay. That's how irrelevant our state is.
I have been in South Dakota. Sioux Falls is in South Dakota, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been in South Dakota and I have not performed there. North Dakota is one of four states that I have never been in.
You're not missing a whole lot.
I got 46 of the 50 puzzle pieces. I'm desperately missing it. Like, I need to get to North Dakota.
Well, we have the world's largest cow.
Okay.
Statue. World's largest buffalo statue.
There's a lot of world largest here.
Right. You got a lot of area.
Yeah. it's insane. Like, we live in the capital. It's like metro population, 100,000 people. We just got a Chick-fil-A.
Went nuts.
It is. It's they had to have like a police escort to like block traffic because everyone wanted to go to Chick-fil-A. It's like fucking buy a plane ticket.
Yeah.
And go to Minneapolis and go to fucking Chick-fil-A and fly back. Unless your time is just not worth dick, then like, well, what's the point?
Congratulations.
And Chick-fil-A is fine, but it's definitely not wait online good.
No, the sauce is like the best thing. You can buy it at a fucking grocery store.
Absolutely. But that's the run right there. It's North Dakota, Minnesota, and Montana. They're all kind of in that area, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can drive straight through,
you could drive straight through and not stop.
Yeah.
If somebody was coming to the state, they're like, I'm going to the state of North Dakota because I've never been to North Dakota. I've got to go to the state. What is the one thing you'd be like, do this?
I mean, my recommendation would be really biased, but I went to school up in Grand Forks, and Ralph Engelstad Arena is just like a majestic hockey arena that's like, it's just so nice that you'd be blown away. So that's what I would recommend.
And their hockey team is pretty good generally, right? Aren't they like in the mix every year?
Yeah. 2016 national champs.
Yes. Right. I was a tuition paying student that year. So count it. And yeah, they're usually good every year. So that would be my recommendation.
Is that North Dakota State?
No.
Or that's so that University of North Dakota.
North Dakota State.
North Dakota State is in Fargo.
And Carson Wentz for that matter.
Right. We actually played T-ball with Carson Wentz. Hate to bring it up, but we did. Don't want to brag.
We're on the Reds.
Oh, they put all the ginger kids on the Reds.
Yeah, I was like, my on base percentage was off the charts. And I quit.
Not how was Carson Wentz at T-ball?
I honestly cannot remember. I just remember we got like orange slices and stuff.
Great. Yeah.
We got to play on the playground after. It was fun.
Solid.
Yeah, that's resume material for Matt and I that we played T-ball with Carson Wentz. So.
I dig it. It's a good story.
He cried like a lot.
Two truths and a lie. I have never been to the local Chick-fil-A. I played T-ball with Carson Wentz, and I drank 40 shots for Kobe Bryant's last game.
It's actually a pretty good combination.
One thing led to another. He died in a helicopter accident, so thanks.
What are we going to finish up with, man?
I want to talk a little bit about golf. So I'm a decently large golf guy. I coach a top three junior high golf team.
That's amazing.
Taking second place the last 2 years, but we went on a run of 7 championships.
It's top three in the city.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's three teams. I'm thinking
national, but like still strong. It's a big city. Well,
it's like I'm not even that good at golf, so it's like these kids are like, some of them are better than I am. It's like,
what's your handicap?
In high school, it was a 2.9, and that's now it good. Now it is a 12.
Wow, you really fell off.
Well, it's just like I don't play, and the only score I put in, I just got buckled, and it's like, oh, I shot an 89.
Sure.
And it's like I like to go drink and then occasionally hit golf shots.
Absolutely.
What's the golf scene in Los Angeles if our fans don't know, Joe lives in Los Angeles.
Yes, I live in Los Angeles for most of the year. Obviously travel a lot, but the scene, you know, I only started playing like maybe I would say around a year and a half ago now with any sort of regularity. Before that, you know, I'd say before June of 2020, I'd probably played 10 rounds of golf in my life. And in the last year and a half, I've probably played 75. So, I'm relatively new to the game, but so I haven't played like all around the world, but I have played, you know, some fairly nice courses in New York, and I've played, in Arizona, and I've played in Palm Springs. And honestly, what I've found is that the LA municipal golf scene is like pretty good, and the LA city courses, like, they really take care, and like there's certainly a history of LA golf. Tiger's from Southern California. The LA Open is a pretty big deal every year. Obviously Tiger has his Riviera tournament, which was also like at a Muni course for a while. So they really have some decent, like, I mean, I'm talking about city courses that you can get on and play prime time for like $30. And obviously then outside of that, there's amazing golf courses in Southern California that you can, that are, you know, within 90 minutes, there's tons of world-class golf courses from Palm Springs down to Orange County. Yeah, the golf, as for a guy who just picked it up, I was like, this seems like a really good place to pick up playing golf. The weather's good all year round. And there's, I mean, literally a million courses.
Well, it's nice about the weather because it was 7 degrees when I drove to work this morning. So thanks for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in New York now where it's not 7, you know, it's in the 40s. But even that, I'm like, so people are just not playing golf right now. You know what I mean? It's like, it's wet and it's, you know, snowy and shit like that. And you're like, man, it is nice now that I think about it. So just doesn't matter if it's January or July, like it's going to be sunny and a great day to play some golf.
Well, enjoy it, because we're all headed for a seasonal depression and it is going to be dark. So
sometimes I look forward to it.
It's an excuse to drink.
Yeah, I laid on the couch for seven out of 7 days this week. Nobody can judge me.
I rewatched Tiger King for fun.
Wow, that's about as dark as I've heard it. I rewatched Tiger King.
Well, I had this idea. So like when we talk with Ruther and listening to your guys' podcast, especially when Andy was living in Los Angeles, it is infested with homeless people. And that was like my favorite thing that he'd put on his Instagram stories, just tent cities. And it's like I enjoy it so much because we have like five homeless people here.
They're so interesting,
which are really attracted to me. I run into a lot of them. But I had this idea that homeless people should caddy at city-owned golf courses for tips. It's similar to Happy Gilmore's caddy because he was a homeless guy.
Yeah, it's definitely not a terrible idea. And there should at least be one LA golf course that does this. But, you know, I mean, golf's such a stuffy game that, like, the last thing most golf courses want, they don't want you wearing a t-shirt out there. So the idea of a guy coming out with no pants on seems like it wouldn't be likely. But I like it. I also used to have a joke years ago. I mean, this is back when I would type my jokes out. But I was like, this is how far we've come in my comedy and in cancel culture. But like, honestly, 20 years ago, I had the idea of homeless guys should be the yardage markers at driving ranges and just stand out there.
Like with any sort of protection?
No, just like with the hundreds. But like, you know, pay him a good wage, because like, how excited would you just be like, take a shot at a guy?
Oh, extremely. I coach kids and that cart drives around and I'm like, don't aim for the cart.
Yeah.
And literally all of them are like hitting sideways and like into other people trying to hit this cart. And
now I have since grown up and would never, ever think that that's a good idea anymore. But when you're 20 and you can't get canceled for the things that you say, that was a hilarious idea. I also thought of homeless people as the NFL end zone pylons would be great. Because they would have a great view, and you never had this thing. It's like, oh, this is this little orange thing that kind of falls over. Like, what if it was like a human that you were just like diving for?
So you basically want homeless people to take the place of inanimate objects around the United States.
For pay.
And it's like, hey, we need a bunch of traffic cones. We need 15 of you. You, and like a Lowe's parking lot.
And then, it's so funny that it's all coming back to me. So those were the first two examples. I cannot believe I just remembered this. And the third one was, I was like, we should take these guys, because a lot of them in New York City, like, they've got a street corner. You know what I mean? You would be like, there's Carl right on the corner of 36th and 2nd. Like, he's there every day. I was like, what we should do is we should give Carl a little like housing unit. It's like, he's going to be there every day. Let's give him a little, tent, or let's give him a little
nook, you know, in the wall.
Yeah. Vestibule. Like, Carl owns a 3-foot by 3-foot plat, yeah, or a plot of land in the middle of Manhattan.
In exchange for the vestibule, he's also like an information booth if anybody needs to know something about the neighborhood. Because this, you know, this is his hood. So if you need to know something about Midtown East, go to Carl's vestibule on 36th and 2nd and ask him. And what we would call them is beings who understand Manhattan, or bums. That's how bad my comedy was.
Cigarette, but
that's how bad my comedy was 20 years ago.
Well, I heard another one that was something about the Jaguars and cum, and it was like Coach Urban Meyer. Nailed it.
Cripes. Well, we're solving homelessness, you know, one idea at a time here on No Brains, No Headache podcast.
I like that you guys are like, make them caddies. Like, that's definitely a better idea than hit them with golf balls.
Wait, watch out. Nope. Maybe not. Caddies, you have to walk, as long as you can stand in one area. I'm going through a basically turning in homeless people into Hunger Games, and I don't know if I want to go there. So
might have to wrap it up.
They used to have they used to have bum fights back in the day. It was like it was like UFC fights for homeless people. I'm glad that we've grown out of that phase of internet culture. It was like the original World Star
and Timmy with a looks like some sort of rusted out pipe.
I think we should go with all these ideas. They should be caddy fights.
You know, oh, yeah.
Just homeless caddies fighting to carry your bag.
In this economy, can't hurt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he stole everything on my bag before the round was over. It was actually impressive. I wasn't even mad.
I mean, that's the thing with, like, L.A. Certainly, I mean, I'm sure there's tons of wonderful homeless people around the world who are homeless for a variety of reasons. But certainly where we were in Venice, it was a big drug homeless problem. And I can just I only imagine that they get through two holes before they run off with your rangefinder and sell it for crack.
Yeah, you got a good might have a good point there. Good point of order.
Well, we can wrap things up. We've kept you long enough. The last question we have for you is where can people find you and where can people find information about your shows?
Look at you guys just Gretzky-ing up a goal right there. You guys can follow me on all social media at Joe Prano, J-O-E-P-R-A-I-N-O. Except for Twitter, I'm at Fix Your Life. And my website, joeprano.com, has a show page. So if you are listening to this and you're not in North Dakota, which is there a comedy club in North Dakota?
I don't know if there's a specific comedy club, but there's places
that do comedy.
Yes.
The people are really good.
Well, until there's a proper comedy club there, I probably won't be there doing stand-up. But if you're listening to this in one of the actual metropolitan areas in our country, there's a good chance that I'll be there at some point. So follow me on social media, check out my shows page, and come see me do some stand-up. Or just check out the Dirty Sports Podcast.
I really like your background, by the way. It's very aesthetic. That stone wall you got going on.
Yeah, thank you. I'm in my sister's.
It's a lot better than our off-centered banner.
I'm in my sister's house dog sitting while she's in Florida. And I was like, you know what? I was looking around the whole day for like, where am I going to do the Dirty Sports today? Where am I going to do NBNH? And I was like, this seems like the stone wall. It's almost like it's got a very like Playboy Mansion grotto feel.
Yeah. Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
I got to go.
No, thanks, Prano. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me. I'm glad we finally got it in. And I just want to say on my way out, now that I've got my plugs in, anything I said about homeless people is for comedy purposes and comedy purposes only. They do not reflect my views or the views of the Dirty Sports Podcast. And don't drink 40 shots of bourbon ever. I don't recommend it.
That should go unsaid, but thank you for saying it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Bear.
I think that's a good spot to start. Alec just throws in you a never lipper. Dipped before?
Mm-mm. No. Bro, you're going to vomit. Pick that out in 5 minutes.
Do you have a spitter?
No, I got it.
You're going to go.
Oh, my God. Dude, you are. I love how crazy you are. You don't give a fuck.
Can we get a.
Well, dude, it's going to happen.
Can we get a garbage can? Ready? Mm. Double start, double bang garbage bags, please. Somebody.
There you go.
We're back here. Dugout Studio. Alex chewing long cut now. We're a terrible influence on him.
Thank God my mom stopped listening to this. She'd murder me.
And we're in the Dugout Studio, as always, for Cleary's Comments segment where we banter about random things. Monday Night Football is on. Bears versus Vikings, I'm watching it live, so just keep that in mind as we go throughout this recording. Oh, it's Christmas week. Merry Christmas to all of you. You too.
Mm. Yeah, I don't really care. Christmas is overrated.
Matt, you hate everything that life has to offer. So.
Yeah, well, sad boy season. There's a Santa shortage.
What do you mean?
Mm-mm. They can't get a lot of fat people to play Santa.
That's odd for America.
Well, I think you got to be old and gray. And I just think we should do away with Santa. And I think the punishment should be, hey, if you're not going to be a good kid to your fucking parents, they're not going to buy you presents.
It'll never happen.
Doing away with Santa is like doing away with all of Christmas. That's the only thing I waited for when I was little.
Yeah.
How are you going to deliver all the presents, Matt, if there's no Santa?
Well, we can go back to last week and we'll drive around on the, what did I call it? Toys on the bus. Toys R Bus.
Toys R Bus?
Yeah. That just delivers food or presents.
I'll drive.
I'd rather just have Santa Claus do it, but how's the old Christmas shopping coming along?
I have not started.
I haven't gone at all. I have $20 that my mom gave me to go and get a haircut tomorrow. So
apparently we need to put Alec on the payroll because he is poor.
Yeah, so. it's almost true. Yeah, Alec, do you couldn't tell. Yeah, it's a,
do you need money?
Yeah, yeah. Like if you do, you can just ask and I'll please Venmo me at
Alec Larson 69.
And just if you need money, just ask and I'll say no.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple other things about Christmas. How old were you when you found out that reindeers were an actual animal?
Probably just now. 12.
I think I was 17.
They're not real.
I would say 12.
Yeah, reindeer are real animals.
They can fly?
No, they can't fly.
However, are they real?
They're an actual animal related to a deer.
You mean like a duck or a buck?
Like a duck?
Like a buck?
A deer?
Like a muley deer?
Yeah. Like reindeers are actual animals.
Mm-mm.
I believe they're in the white-tailed deer family, but what do I know? If you canceled Santa Claus, they'd have to send out a silver alert, just like the one we got last week that scared the shit out of me.
I'm
like 11 a.m. or 11 p.m.?
Everyone in the... you're at a bar, and all of a sudden it's just...
Well, quick pro tip about that. Mm-hmm. You can turn off your emergency notifications.
Can you?
Yeah. Go to notifications, scroll to the bottom. You can turn all that shit off. Pro tip, coming at you hot. No Brains, No Headache podcast. Clear his comments. That's what we do.
You know what? I'm a good human and a good citizen, and I'm leaving them on. Because what if I'm the guy that sees the guy that's missing?
You're not going to. You might as well buy a lottery ticket.
Alec jumps out of his seat at the bar, jumps in his car, promptly gets a DUI.
Just a vigilante.
We gotta go. This guy's 45 miles away. I'm a shitty homeowner. It's no secret about that. And I was asked by someone I was talking to seriously if I was gonna put up Christmas lights. And if I were to put up Christmas lights, those things are never coming down.
Just like you moving into this house, you're never moving out of this house.
Yeah, or if I do, you can have all the possessions in it.
Yeah, we have a friend who just moved into a house. Alec and I checked it out, and he was like, moving was the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me guess, you're never, ever leaving this house. He's like, yeah, that's...
Dude, my brother, so that XFL football I have was left in, like when I was moving my brother in, he broke a golf driver I gave him. So I'm like, okay, I'm taking this football as payment.
A golf driver for an XFL football. Not bad. Not bad trade.
Well, I'm never going to use it again. But there was also this old car door in his garage. And then when he moved out, he's like, yeah, that's staying. You don't need to worry about that.
Just an extra car door.
Yeah, just
detached from a vehicle.
Yeah, just like up on a shelf. Just like, well, that thing's never coming down.
Was it a color of a car that you own, perhaps? Maybe you just keep it around just in case.
It was like a 62 Chevy.
How dare you?
I'm highly speculating because I know dick about cars, but...
Dude, moving does suck, though, for people like Matt or me, like collectors of just random things. Because then you just have to figure out your box of things. And you have to move all of those things. And you have billions of boxes of things. But for people that don't have a lot of things, just...
Minimalists, I believe, is what they're called.
Then it's super easy to move. They can just pick up their two things that they own and leave.
I believe in minimalism. Is that what it would be called? I don't know. Vikings, 3rd and 10. It just cut to a commercial. I have no idea what's going on. But it looks like they remembered their purple jerseys. Unlike Matt, you might have to help me here. Coppin State?
Correct.
Coppin State forgot their men's basketball. They forgot their jerseys when they went to Philadelphia to play Drexel. So what do they have to do? They had to wear Drexel's practice jerseys.
How embarrassing.
Go to a Dick's Sporting Goods and buy like the jerseys they have there.
Well, I just
or don't forget your fucking jerseys.
Well, we'll get to the repercussions of forgetting a jersey, but I thought it was funny reading a little bit more into this. To make matters worse, they are currently 1-14.
Oh God,
1-14,
1 win, 14 losses.
Oh,
dude, let me throw down some money on their dark horse. They win their conference tournament, go to the NCAA tournament, and promptly lose by 58 to like Kentucky.
Yeah, not great. They forgot their jerseys on a road game. Had to wear the opponent's practice jerseys. They're 1-14. This reminds me of when on Twitter, Kirk Cousins just got sacked. This reminds me of Twitter accounts that royally fuck up by tweeting something like really dumb or rather offensive, and they just like didn't see it. Like the Las Vegas Raiders are just doing some questionable tweets. Texas Longhorns, questionable tweets. The Texans are on the hot seat. There's an NFL. The Cardinals, I believe, are on the hot seat for not tweeting as much. But the question is the person in charge of the jerseys fired?
I don't see how he could keep his job.
They remembered the shorts, though.
You have one job.
Yeah, how that's like...
Remember the jerseys.
Yeah, it's like, okay, it's not like it's football where you have a ton of equipment. You literally have, like, shoes and clothes.
How do you get halfway on that bus and you're just, like, not speaking up?
I don't know. Or
like, as your one job, you're just like, oh, shit, I didn't do the one job I'm supposed to do.
I think there should be, like, an unwritten law that if you do that... You just have to go shirts and skins and duct tape numbers to you.
This reminds me of a time in high school football for a JV game on the road. Somebody like forgot like all their shit. Like, pants, pads, shoulder pads, helmet. They forgot everything. How was that? How was the lipper? You know, Alec got quiet all of a sudden. And I'm wondering why.
Well, that's good. I just got a bunch of dirt all over my mouth now.
Are you ready to tell us about hotel lobbies?
Yeah, so went to graduation this weekend up at UND.
Congrats, Sam.
Yep, congrats, Sammy.
Congrats to the first lady of the podcast.
And she...
Shut up, Joe.
She had to stay in a hotel. And I walk in and I started thinking about all the different things about hotels. Number one, I had to go to the bathroom. Somebody shit all over the bathroom. So that was nice. So I had to wait until we got to our room. And number two, when I'm sitting there on the toilet, I got to thinking, why do they just leave the toilet paper roll from the previous people that stayed there? If it's not empty, they don't change it. They just leave that roll.
Wait,
there.
This was in your so room like, that you went into your room and they had not cleaned the bathroom. Someone just blew it up.
Yep. No, this is in the lobby.
Okay. Okay. I was like, wait.
I'm willing to guess that the person who blew up the lobby bathroom was not staying at that hotel.
Mm-mm.
Just a pet.
No, dude. Every morning.
Everybody knows if you're gonna go blow up a toilet, you go to a hotel lobby. You're not staying at.
Yes. I had so many questions about hotels, but number one, hotel lobby. Why are they all like built like really cozy living rooms? Like as if people are just going to go leave their hotel room and go chill in the lobby and watch TV and hang out in the lobby.
If you have a big group, I wouldn't see why that's...
If you fucking hate your family, yeah, that's probably where you're going to hang out most of the time.
And you just accidentally fall asleep on the couch lobby and they just put a blanket over you. Like
you wake up in the slammer, you know.
Okay, I can see that. Number two, I don't understand why breakfast at hotels is done at 9:30.
Is that a universal time?
It is. It's a pretty similar time.
Well, I think hotels don't take into the fact that their guests are getting hammered drunk till 3 a.m.
Literally put a yogurt refrigerator in front of you with milk and everything cool inside of it that you want at like 9:35, but no, it's padlocked shut. Like you cannot get in there.
It's served. Meant to tease you.
Exactly. It's like you can look, but absolutely no touching. Should have been here 5 minutes ago.
I do like the ones where they leave the like juice machines open. You can go fill up a water bottle full of cranberry juice for your UTI.
Is that a UTI cure?
Apparently, because I was drinking a bunch of vodka cranberries on a flight, and my sister was like, "Do you have a UTI?" And I was like, "No, I just really like vodka cranberries."
Does anybody actually drink cranberry juice?
It's like when you get, unless you have a UTI, or
I was gonna say get bit by a skunk, but get sprayed by a skunk. You're supposed to.
Funny enough, cranberry juice is actually coming up later in Cleary's comments, but let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. Hey everyone, hope you're enjoying the show so far. We would like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Heart River Spirits, made right here in Bismarck, North Dakota. Heart River Spirits has certified craft distilled spirits recognized by the American Distilling Institute. Right now we have the rum, including spiced, silver, coconut, and cinnamon, and they also have a really smooth vodka. Check them out on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, and look out for updates on when the distillery is opening. It will be called the Big Dog Distillery, which will be the home of Heart River Spirits for all the patrons right here in Bismarck, North Dakota. If you live outside of North Dakota and you're interested in trying the products, please ask your local liquor store and we will work with the distributor to get it to your area. Back to the show. Thank you to our sponsor.
I'm going to hop right into, I have some beef with Asian restaurants. The one I wanted food from tonight was closed on Mondays, so strike one. But also where I get all of my news source from, Shmayef Shmayar. This is the article, and it's one of the greatest things that I've ever read, was according to an online report, the restaurant's name is ND Asia, had nearly 20 issues considered critical during its inspection. Businesses start at a score of 100 and work down with 60 warranting immediate closure. ND Asia scored a 23.
That's good, right?
No!
Like Michael Jordan. 23 is out of 100?
Yeah, so that's basically like you taking a test and once
the
you
perfect
get,
score.
Yeah, it's you get to 60, you fail. You get to 23, you close up and they send you back.
Do they just light your establishment on fire?
I think you have to have John Taffer come in there and destroy a couple things, and then you clean up what he destroyed and clean up the prior mess, and then you're good to go.
This isn't boycott material, is it?
No, because I'm never going to go to this restaurant.
Why?
Because it's, one, not located in my vicinity, and I don't really plan on going to Minot.
Oh, that's true.
But if you ever end up in Minot, I feel like that'd be a good spot to check out.
No, according to this article, I'm...
Okay, who's the one making that article?
Everybody loves a comeback story.
I mean, it's a medical or a inspector that goes around and does it to every restaurant.
A health inspector.
That's the one.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Sounds like a greasy joint. We should definitely check it out sometime.
It's like the one where they like have pigeons in the basement where they were...
I ate there. I still went there because they have great food. Pigeons are not.
Yeah. I think there's some, you know.
I'm a scavenger.
There's red flags and there's signs of a good establishment. Pigeons in the basement equals really good food.
When we were in high school, there was a Chinese buffet here that if you dropped off carp.
Mm-hmm. They still do.
They would give you a free buffet, which leads me to my next question of what are they cooking with carp?
Yeah, who's eating fish? Carp?
Yeah. Carp tastes like shit because that's all they eat is shit.
Who cares?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Don't go to that restaurant.
Matt, I'm telling you.
We're not boycotting it. We're just telling you it got a 23 out of 100.
That's be the judge. Still, that's better than zero. At least they got some points.
We want our listeners to.
It's make like you their get 600 points for signing your name on the SAT. I think you get 23 points for just having a restaurant location. And then they fucked up literally everything else.
I got boned hard by every college I applied to.
Why, Matt?
Some political crap. I got a zero on my SATs.
You know, you get 600 points just for signing your name, right?
So when you guys have a back itch, an itch on your back, you know, that's why they make the back scratchers. Does your body automatically know to place it on the one area you can't reach on your back? You know what I'm talking about? We're only so flexible, and there's a zone. It's like the no-fly zone on your back. How often do you get an itch on your back that's in the no-fly zone? And how many times have you almost injured yourself at the expense of a back itch?
Well... I go right to a doorway.
You're like a bear. You do the bear?
Yeah, I love just like grabbing a doorway, like pretending I'm talking to someone until they just see me moving up and down.
And you're just, oh.
Yeah.
I can touch every part of my back.
So you don't have the problem. Maybe I'm not as flexible, but like there's definitely just a small area on the back that I just can't reach no matter what arm I go. Do I need to work on my flexibility?
You use your phone a friend every time.
Hey, Alec, I know you're wicked busy, but I got a back itch. And I need you to drop everything.
I'm not even in town. I'll pay for your gas. I just need you back here.
I know you're trying to start a business and all, but drop everything you're doing and get over here.
Right now.
I don't know. I feel like, are you asking the question, like, does it, like, it automatically know the distance of where you're holding your back itcher?
I guess that's kind of what I'm asking.
I feel like you don't hit it directly right away. You kind of are in the general area, but you got to move it around a little bit.
Maybe I just need to start doing the mat, aka the bear, where I find a corner wall and just
a good door frame, preferably metal door frame.
That's like one of those cows with the brushes. They just go up to the brush and they can't get enough of it.
See, I go for the lay on your back and do the kick your leg scoot method.
Where you like, do like the squiggle on the ground like you're a snake or something.
Yeah, Matt, since you work in an office setting with other people, the next time you get a back itch, can you do the reverse worm for us and just report back?
Or just lay
no
on
pun there? report back about your back.
Report. Bad, yeah,
well, you mentioned, mentioned flexibility, and there was this kid that we went to grade school with that tried to touch his thumb to his wrist.
I got a back itch right now.
Tried to touch his thumb to his wrist and broke his thumb.
No.
I can't watch people who arm wrestle because I'm just afraid their arm is just going to snap, and I'm going to witness it and be traumatized.
That actually is a legit fear, I feel like. I think I watched a video of that once.
Well, you can just see the...
Yeah, just snatched backwards.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
That point, it's a battle of the bones, not the arm strength.
Do you think lesbians get back itches?
No, but I got a bone to pick with all of them. I don't actually think that lesbians are real.
Okay, I'm listening. You
similar to reindeer.
I'm listening.
Think about this. Name a lesbian that doesn't own a dildo.
Ask me about my wiener!
Please, name one. Name one lesbian that doesn't own a dildo. I bet you could walk up to any lesbian and they own a dildo or a strap-on.
Are we supposed to go through a list of all the lesbians we know?
Yes.
I might be here for a while.
They're not real. They're not really lesbians.
So
they just
how
don't
can we
like,
make a list of lesbians
they just don't
if
like
lesbians
dudes.
Aren't real?
They just don't like the persona of a dude, a guy. Because they're still playing around, doing stuff down there.
So are you saying lesbians aren't real because they use a dildo?
Yeah, which they're just imitates all of them.
He said that they
are dicks out of here. We don't want any part of you.
We just want rubber dicks.
Yeah rubber well, only. We don't need men.
Quote unquote, they're lesbians because they don't like men, which is, in fact, the definition of...
See, that's what I was afraid. That's why I said persona of men. Idea of men. They just don't like men. They think we're dirty pigs. But really, who's the dirty pig buying all these plastic dildos? Yeah.
Who's the dirty pig buying a dildo?
Yeah. So, just saying, they're imitating men. We can move on now.
I had no idea where that one was going, but... Yeah, I'm glad to kind of transition to something completely not in that category.
Transition into a lesbian?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to do the full...
That too. But so I don't like that car keys are so complicated now.
That was a good tranny right there.
But I like the old car keys where you could make like 30 of them for $6. Like my car that I had in high school... I think I went and made 20 keys for it, and I'm still finding random keys for an 89 Honda Accord that has probably been crushed.
I agree.
And it's just because, they have all the electronic shit in them. Get rid of that and just get normal keys, and then it wouldn't be so fucking expensive when you lose your car keys. You got to pay $260 for something that unlocks your car from 20 feet away.
There's this new thing with cars where, like, you start them and, you know, you got that electric starter or whatever. You start them from your house and you go out. No matter if you just started it or if it's been running for 15 minutes, if you get close to your vehicle, if you're in proximity, it just shuts off.
Why?
Like, why? Why would it ever do that? What is the point of that?
I also don't like when cars, they, like, shut off when they're at a stop. Mm-hmm.
That bothers me.
Yeah, and I, like, walk by it, and then I hear their car start again. Like, oh, God, you sitting there for 8 seconds really saved on your fuel economy by restarting your car.
The nature of the Earth, Mother Earth thanks you for stopping your vehicle for that 8 seconds.
At that point, just spend...
Through the whistle.
Yeah,
What if you're driving a Tesla, though?
Just spend the extra 40 grand and buy a Tesla.
Do you have to warm up your Tesla?
Aren't they always warm?
Teslas, you, like, don't even have to drive. Like, you just have to touch the steering wheel every 60 seconds and just drives for you.
Yeah, all these people living in their vehicles now just live in a Tesla.
If I got a Tesla, I would be the kid that drove it home and wouldn't have a place to charge it. I'd be like, what do you do if you live in an apartment building? You have to run an extension cord and hope to God that some hobo doesn't unplug your car in the middle of the night. Well, the one spot in
North Bismarck that allows...
Yeah, currently there is more charging stations in Bismarck than there are Teslas in Bismarck.
Where did you get those numbers?
I've only seen two Teslas driving around.
Okay, so according to Matt Cleary, Matt Cleary's stats.
Every time I drive by a car, I make...
There's 14 homeless guy on 4th Street and only two Teslas in this town. I'll tell you that for free.
I mean, I got documentation.
I'm writing that down. Cleary stats.
Stop. Okay, good. That's pretty good. All right.
There's one guy that's downtown that drives around a Tesla.
Is he homeless?
No.
Okay.
He's multiple homes. He's rich.
Dude, how could you be homeless and have a Tesla at the same time? There's no way.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, or like the people that like have nicer cell phones than I do and no home.
That is so... Dude, how are homeless people making their phone bills paid? Like, how are they getting that shit paid off? And then
if they are talking to their friends all the time... What are they talking about? Oh, still homeless? Yeah, me too. Yeah. How deep does the conversation
go? The homeless population loves to play games on their phone with the volume at absurd levels.
Oh, yeah. That guy at the library, went to the public library, did a little studying a while back. Dude was playing a game right there with the sound on. I politely asked him to turn it off, and he got pretty upset.
There's your first mistake, is going to the public library thinking that anybody goes there to actually read books. I think the public library is a homeless shelter.
That's what it is.
Until it closes, then those people... Dude, I don't even know how there's homeless people in North Dakota. I get cold walking to my car from the front door.
There's homeless shelters. And did you guys ever rent fishing poles from the public library?
No, but... I think we should dig deeper into this.
Fishing pole from the library.
Tell us about renting fishing poles.
So you'd from rent the a fishing
public library.
Well, we'd always do it as kids. We'd rent like 4 fishing poles from the public library, and maybe one of them would work. And they would give you a little tackle box that had bobbers and hooks and weights in it.
They must be desperate. Nobody's checking out books. We need to get fishing poles.
Yeah, I mean, they were really shitty fishing poles, and I just remember taking them on vacation, and then we'd be like, oh, there's 4 of us to fish and only one pole works.
How do they... I just don't understand. How do you get that idea brought up to the meeting? All right, guys,
we need something else to rent. People are books, not reading
magazines, fishing poles.
All right, so the
piano recitals in the basement.
And how did you figure that out?
I don't know.
I think they're right behind the front desk. You can also rent life jackets. So,
yeah.
Another pro tip you on NBNH.
The library was all excited when they finally got DVDs to rent out. And then DVDs are like worthless now.
Don't say that.
No. They should just sell NFTs at the library.
You can rent an NFT.
Austin Powers.
You just can't take any videos of it.
Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me on DVD. I see it out, I'm probably going to buy it.
It's on every streaming service, though. I didn't know
you could rent DVDs from the library. And why do I need a fucking card to go there? What does that prove, other than my ID?
I think they just do it for the homeless people to give them a sense of normalcy in this world.
Yeah, you just see a homeless guy reading the
that should a book be a we, question on there.
Yeah, the homeless guy reading F. Scott Fitzgerald.
On the application for a library card, do you have a home? Yes. Why do I need this
card? No, it's the reason you need the cards because it's the only thing that you can actually apply for without a home address.
Really?
I have no idea. Yep. Another stat I just made up.
Matt is just throwing out wild allegations.
Put
two Teslas and only thing.
What are you Googling?
No, he's just writing down things I say to talk about later.
Oh, okay. Great. I made some Moscow mules recently. They're pretty rank, you could say. I was making them and I forgot one ingredient. I forgot to add ginger beer, so I was just making vodka crayons.
I think that's like the most important ingredient in a Moscow mule. Like, so you're making vodka crayons in...
Well, the first one was a normal one, and then I went to make numero dos, and I just put vodka and cranberry juice in there, and I'm like, ah, what does this need? A little more vodka? And I'm like, oh, ginger beer. I forgot. I just made a vodka crayon. That's all I did.
Did you... make it in a copper mug?
Well, I did not, but you're in a college town when you order a Moscow mule at an establishment, and they make you give your identification as collateral so you don't steal the copper mug. That's only happened to me in Grand Forks.
I got a question. Do you guys know why they use a copper mug?
Do you know the answer to this?
Yes. The antacids in the... Never mind.
Common misconception. Everybody thinks it's like for the flavor of the drink and whatnot. It's just to keep the temperature of the drink. That's it. It's like your drink will stay the same temperature for a really long time in a copper mug.
It's not because Moscow is the copper capital of the world.
Probably not.
Is it? Is it though?
That's another wild allegation.
No, Google it.
But have you? Maybe I haven't had many here in town, but. I've only been asked to give my ID when they give me a copper mug when I'm in like a college town. Is there a correlation?
There's some bars around here that do it. I had a college roommate that would like steal the copper mug literally every time he got one.
So that's the asshole who started the ID collateral thing.
Yeah. This is pre-Amazon though.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that means, but
Amazon was invented in 1994.
For books.
Just like the library.
Yeah, you can rent fishing poles on Amazon. They had to get with the times for the library.
You know you're smart when you make billions of dollars off of something that's free to everyone. Books at the library. Amazon.
Books aren't free.
Jeff Bezos.
You gotta give him your ID there, too. Library.
Wouldn't
ID.
It just be really easy to steal books from a public library?
No. Have you seen that Seinfeld episode where he... They come after him when he owes like $3,000 because he still has a book checked out from 20 years ago.
I have Land of the Lost from Blockbuster currently, so.
You should probably return that. They're probably frantically.
Yeah, I'll drive to Bend, Oregon to the last.
Bend over and I'll show you.
Oh, I got one for you. Why the fuck are we trying to go to Mars so quick?
I'm not. I'm personally fine here.
Yeah, I've wondered this about space travel. What does going to space actually accomplish?
Well, if you're Matt Damon, it's an epic story.
Space is huge.
If you're not Matt Damon.
Other than just sending a satellite up there that goes around in a circle, what's the point of, like, when Jeff Bezos went up and he was like a space cowboy and everyone made a huge deal about it, the height that he went to wasn't higher than like the highest flight that they've done. So it's like he basically just went up really high and then came back down.
Well, you know, getting really high is the new thing.
Yeah, everybody's we can't even go to the fucking moon again. Apparently they just lost all the ways to get to the moon. They were there and then they're like, oh,
Transformers, Dark of the Moon, they got what they needed and
now they went to the moon there. So explain that.
Let's just be done with that then. I got a different question. This is way better.
Okay.
How do we know for a fact that an animal is actually extinct? Like they searched everywhere?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
They looked everywhere. Well,
if it's a giant, it's like, yeah, the T-Rex, we can't say for certain that it's not extinct because we haven't seen one walking around. It's not like you're going to... Some of those animals, yeah, if it's like a bug or something, yeah, I get it. But it's like, if you don't see a woolly mammoth around, they're pretty hard to fucking miss.
I don't know.
What about like a Sasquatch? Is that, have they determined?
There's no way they just, can exist.
Yes, there is.
They no way they can or can't exist?
They can exist. There's because no way they can. We would have found them by now.
No, we found a gorillas in 1920. Believe that. 1921, actually, we discovered gorillas.
100 years ago. Wow.
I think the human race just sucks. Myself included.
That's a valid question, though. How do they know an animal is actually extinct? Like, they know for... They looked everywhere, and
yeah,
it's gone.
I think that's how it works. You don't see it.
They got people just out there looking around. All right, didn't see him today.
Matt likes to go extinct from the bar about 11:30, you know? You just don't see him anymore.
Yeah. So, technically, I'm extinct.
Matt's stats. Technically, I'm extinct.
Well, redheaded people are going extinct in the next 50 years. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. Are you proud of that?
I think we just need to go away.
Why? I think we just need to go away.
Go away for now.
2-minute warning. Vikes are up 10-0. Justin Fields and the Bears are driving. Screen and now a sack. Lunch. Hello. Survivor recap. Survivor season 41 finished up last week. I'm the only one on the show who really watched it religiously, but it's been known that I'm a big fan. Matt and I watched the very first episode together. We each picked two winners. Matt actually picked a guy who went to the final three. He took third place.
How many episodes did you watch after the first?
One, and then I tried to watch... I watched 15 minutes of one, I think, 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on.
One of those, you just start watching a show, and you're just like,
all you
why
need to
am
know is that they're still surviving. That's it. I don't know how you can keep watching the show.
I want, like, a Survivor to meet, like,
Hunger Games.
Alone. Like, I want them to actually have to, like, live in huts.
But that's just alone.
But they film it, and then they do challenges where they get, like, a hot dog. If you win the challenge, and then it's like you can tap out or you can stay with your tribe. I think it would be more dog eat dog world there.
Yep.
Let's make our own show.
What's it called?
That's what surviving,
it's called surviving.
No survival, no problem.
Yeah, I think it's at that point we just call it Survivor, but spell it differently.
Yep.
And then
hope. No, let's take out all the vowels. That's the new thing to do.
Oh, it's on a license plate.
Yeah. Survivor, Matt's version of the show. But season wrapped up. It was super underwhelming. Like I said, Matt picked an app developer from Southern California. A white male surprisingly didn't get any votes in the final tribal council.
Did the guy that had like...
No, it was a girl named Erica who won it. She was lesbian. I don't believe so. I don't want to assume anything here, but pretty crazy. You got season 42 coming in March. I just love that show. It's going to be a good show. I love when they get the rewards and it's always like the worst food possible. Like, oh, you got popcorn and root beer. It's like, you know what that's going to do to my digestive system?
Yeah, when all you've been eating is like tree bark and
just eating rice and coconuts the whole time, and then, oh, you want a pepperoni pizza? It's like, heartburn, come on down.
Where's it from? Domino's. Never mind, I don't want it.
I would take any pizza.
But if you win Survivor, you get $1 million. We're going to make $1 million on the show.
Yeah, that's with taxed, and you probably can't just get the check. I'm sure you win about $300,000 by the end.
I would hope it's more than that. If the tax rate is 70% after winning $1 million, we need to really rethink things.
But what? It's in Fiji or something, so they don't have taxes.
But you're an American citizen.
I'm not sure how it works.
Did you take the big check to the big check?
I'm trying to transition to $1 million ideas, for the love of God. Let's move on.
Okay, I got a couple of them. First one being We shouldn't waste infrastructure in putting Tesla units up. We should only have the number of Tesla charging stations per capita of Teslas. Don't know how that translates to $1 million, but it needs to be done. We would save cities and governments a lot of money.
Now you know.
I know. I knew that the whole time, Alec.
I didn't hear anything you said.
Well, it's pretty worthless. So. another one I had was dehydrated donuts. So donuts are fluffy, and if you got, and they take up a lot of real estate in boxes and stuff. So if they put a donut that's either flat or just a ball, and then you put like a
okay,
one of those pumps for a basketball, and then you blow up the donut.
Looks like you already have them.
Dehydrated donuts.
You guys need to Google your $1 million ideas. I Googled mine. So
damn, this lady does it in her house.
Yeah,
she dehydrates donuts.
Yeah, I think she's dehydrating them. But how do you rehydrate them with the pump? And you just
this video of this title is why not, why throw them out when you could just dehydrate?
That's not the bong. That's where my.
That's
strong.
A good idea, actually.
Yeah, I have another one. If you guys don't have any,
I have two actually.
Okay. I have one.
Okay. Alec, you want to go?
Really, really fun nursing homes.
A lot like, of Viagra and Xanax.
Yeah, do whatever you want, nursing homes. Like bangers. You can throw parties. You don't have to go to bed at 8.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
I think those are just called retirement communities.
No, none of that. Like, I'm talking.
Let's get
I guess retirement communities, but they don't have, like, nurses in a retirement camp.
It sounds a lot like you're describing.
Why do all my ideas get shut down?
Mine just got shit on.
Yeah, dehydrated donuts? I said that was a good idea. Fun nursing homes? Come on!
The first idea
you just put
I said,
fun in front of something that already exists.
Fun prisons.
Fun now prisons, that's a good one.
Yeah, fun prisons.
Why go to prison? You just go to fun prison.
Well, it's like the one I talked about like a year ago on this podcast was like, man camps that you basically just pay to go like drink at a lake with a bunch of other people your age.
Sounds like a festival.
Yeah, it's very very similar to a festival or
a bar.
Yeah, or like I don't know, renting a lake cabin and go with some of your friends. You don't have to just like hope you meet some cool person.
No, you purposely imprison yourself to force yourself to meet new people.
Yes. I like that idea.
It's like a bachelor retreat.
Is speed dating still a thing?
But is there an age cap on this? Could I just bring like my grandpa?
I don't know. I think if you're grandfathered in, if you can hang, you can come.
Was that one slogan?
I don't know.
I have a $1 million idea. It's actually really good and practical. Actually didn't Google this one. Fuck.
Well, in the meantime,
I don't know how to Google it. Let me explain it. Sorry, were you saying something?
No.
Sorry. So this one, actually a really good idea. It's a projector light made for pitching in baseball. So like you just put it like on the ground below like home plate, and then it illuminates a strike zone.
A hologram.
Yeah, that's the word. Boom. Kudos on the pronunciation, by the
hologram.
Way.
Hologram.
I like that.
Yeah, it's just like those. It's like a little Bluetooth speaker, basically. You just set it on the ground above where you're pitching in front of the catcher, and then it holograms. I don't know if you can use it as a verb, but I am. It holograms a strike zone. So the pitcher can see it, and he can pitch it, and like he can see like where he hits.
So you're talking like backyard baseball or pickup baseball, or are you going to adapt this into like high school games so you don't
have
to
worry
about
it? Like it's like a training purpose. Like you're doing bullpen.
Kind of like a golf
this
simulator.
This thing just illuminates up a strike zone that you can pitch through. It's not a net. It's not tape. It's not
those like.
It's not PVC pipe.
Yep. Okay.
So you can literally like see a strike zone or like mimic it, but then you can like throw through it so it doesn't. Your catcher can still catch it and throw it back to you, no problem. Nothing in the way.
I wonder if they have that with like virtual glasses.
They
or
might.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I actually didn't Google. This
I think
one.
I think it'd be funny if they did that for like a pro game or something. And so it's like you pitch it and you don't know if it's a strike, and like you have to like turn around and look at like the Jumbotron and then just shows up like strike or ball. Yeah. It's just like,
well, that's version 2.0.
Throw a pitch.
If you hit the strike zone, it lights up green. If you miss it, it detects a ball went by and it goes red.
Just imagine the pitcher throws a pitch and looks back, comes back, ball, just fuck.
Damn, that's cool.
That's a good idea.
It's actually a pretty good one.
It is a really good one.
That's a lot better than my last one.
That leads me to tell you guys I'm quitting the podcast to start up this business.
Yeah, I really hope one day an investor just comes on and listens and he's like, they have about a...
Oh, they're just going to siphon it for themselves and be like, I do not want those idiots to be a part of this $1 million idea.
One that day, was stole like from 10 them. Years from now, we're all going to be watching TV and Steve there's going to be an ad. And you're be like, I thought of that.
Well, yeah, my last one I wrote down was playgrounds for people in wheelchairs.
Like, smash. They have those. Called hospital.
Those aren't playgrounds. Like, I want something that, like...
If you play there, you
can yeah, it's like, there's no hand... There's,
hospitals are what you make
There's
it.
No wheelchair-accessible playgrounds.
Hospital.
Like, you could go up and you wheel up to the top of a slide and you go down or something.
You know, for being a generally pessimistic guy, this is a really glass-half-full idea.
Well, I mean, the amount of money you'd have to spend to get, like, the AARP to, like,
spend... What's the AARP?
I don't know if that's...
Isn't that the financing that you get on your home?
No, I'm pretty sure if you have a drinking problem, you go there.
I don't know. I think I just might have... But they have, like, AARP playgrounds that are, like, fake gym equipment that no one ever uses. But, yeah, give wheelchair-bound people playgrounds. Once
again, yeah, I think you're describing a hospital.
Yeah, that's...
It's not a hospital. You can't have fun in a hospital in a wheelchair.
If you
have fun.
Made a fun nursing home hospital.
Yeah, fun hospital is what you just described.
Imagine like a seesaw that's just two people in a wheelchair on both sides.
You just roll up.
A roller coaster, instead of sitting in a seat, you just... Yeah, attach your chair.
Yeah, that's basically what it would be on now a smaller scale.
Okay. A fun amusement park for wheelchairs. Yeah.
The para park. Para playground. Oh, man, that's gold. That would be awesome.
Yeah, but then you get people that aren't in wheelchairs that try to go on it or poser wheelchair people. Like when I used to go to the World War Memorial Building and play wheelchair basketball on Wednesdays.
You never did that.
I used to do it.
Matt's done a lot of weird shit.
Oh, there's another mic hit.
I've hit it like 7 times. This thing's way too close to my face.
Invisible microphones.
Yeah, I think on that note, let's...
I have another one.
Okay.
I did Google this one. All right, hear me out. $1 million idea is Pork Hub. Monthly subscription to pork products. And then you also get an annual calendar of hot chicks dressed up in cop outfits to target the law enforcement demographic and to also... make fun of the pig and bacon joke.
Piggies.
Yeah, I Googled this. There's a few food trucks and social media pages that are going with the Pork Hub name. However, I think there'd be a way around it. We just call it Pork Hub Meats, LLC, or whatever. And then you just call it Pork Hub. And yes, you do use the same logo.
Once a month, you get a slab of bacon.
Once a month, you get like a pack of bacon, some pork chops.
And a flip-up calendar that has different chicks on it every day. Well,
the calendar will come once a year. You can't.
There's already pork subscription boxes.
Is it called Pork Hub?
Well, how do you differentiate?
Is it called Pork Hub?
Yeah.
Okay. No, but there's one called Meat Box.
Their slogan, no one beats our meat.
There's the Moink Box. M-O-I-N-K.
Let's all take our $1 million ideas and see who makes the most money after tonight.
Yeah. Right.
Deal. I'm going to
And you guys aren't invited to the Matt's illuminated hologram
baseball pork fest.
I'm going to combine the two. Not only do you get to work on your pitching, but you get monthly pork products.
Yeah, well, you can have a monthly stay at my fun nursing home.
Yeah, well, and you could also get dehydrated donuts as you play on a playground.
You can eat that for dessert after your pork.
Or
there's got to be rules at your playground.
Well, yeah, you get dehydrated donuts, and then you get thrown like, down.
If I can walk, can I play?
No,
that's not fair.
Yeah, neither is having playgrounds that people with able-bodied legs
go deep. Hail Mary. And I was out of bounds.
Okay. Well, on that note, let's wrap this up, boys. Another fun episode. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at NBNH Podcast. And head over to Apple, leave us a review. Al could buy you beer.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Madison, what you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.